The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Tap Dance Day. Tony, are you a tap dancer?
Tony Kornheiser, more of a pole dancer, yeah.
I just grooved one. You just sat back on your heels, waited for the breaking pitch on that one, and just knocked it out. Launch angle,
I will tell
everything.
You that I really, really, truly admire tap dancers.
Who, you got a favorite? Who's your favorite?
Am I going to pronounce the name right? Savion Glover? Was he a tap dancer,
I
think?
Yes.
Great tap dancer.
I was going to go
so
Gregory Hines.
I saw him perform on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, great.
He's
also.
Great.
I saw Glover on Broadway. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Aaron Rodgers talks, the Heat lose, and Connor McDavid goes home. But we begin today with both Los Angeles NBA teams facing the possibility of going down 2-0. The Lakers are on the road in Phoenix. The Clippers are at home against Dallas. Wilbon, which team is more likely to get a win tonight, the Lakers or the Clippers?
The Lakers, Tony. You know who I'm rooting for here in Phoenix. Make no mistake about that. But, you know, the Lakers, this is LeBron James, right? And Anthony Davis is not going to go, you know, 4 for whatever he was. He was awful. And he blamed himself, and he knows, and he's going to bounce back. I mean, people go crazy. They think, like, it's only a few players in history who, like, 75, 80% of the time or better are just great playoff game after game after game after game. Most guys have to make some adjustments. They have a bad game. They got to bounce back from it. And so people are going crazy about Anthony Davis, you can write the numbers down now. I got 30 and 15 for Anthony Davis tonight. They're going to go to him early. They're going to go to him often. I mean, you know, this is going to be difficult for DeAndre Ayton, you know, because he's going to have a future Hall of Famer coming at him, you know, trying to get his game back and get his team back. And LeBron James, I don't know about physically, because his coach keeps saying, you know, if LeBron had 2 or 3 more weeks, but he doesn't, so he's got to go with what he's got. But I expect the Lakers to bounce back tonight, and I don't know about the Clippers. You know, I didn't like the Clippers all year. I think the Lakers will bounce back and win tonight. Not the series necessarily, tonight.
Yeah. So I would love to disagree with this. I do not disagree with it. I actually think both teams will win. If you ask me which team is more likely to win, I will say the Lakers for the Anthony Davis reason. I think LeBron will go to his teammates and say this is a do-or-die situation. Now, I don't think that's true. I don't think they have to win. They're a championship team. They can go back home and win. I fully expect that to happen. But in these circumstances, Mike, I find that I trust LeBron more than I trust the Clippers because of the history of LeBron and the Clippers
versus the
playoffs.
Yeah.
I think the Clippers are going to concentrate on stopping Luka Doncic. It will not surprise me if Kawhi guards Luka Doncic. But it's a trust factor. If I have to pick one team or the other, I'm going to pick the team that I trust more. I would just say this, though. If I'm Adam Silver, I want the Lakers to win. And if I'm Adam Silver, I don't much care if the Clippers win. And I know that you are of the opinion that the league has to make way for new stars and get
it
off
does.
Its attachment.
And Luka's one of them.
To Curry,
Luka's one of them.
To Curry and LeBron. And,
yes.
And my feeling about that is that this is a television show, not for the players, but for the commissioner. This is a television show. And what brings the most ratings are Curry, who's already out, and LeBron, and you don't want him out. And I would analogize it to golf. Over the weekend, the PGA had 13 million viewers at a peak at 7 o'clock on Sunday to see Phil Mickelson. The PGA could put Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods out doing anything, and people would tune in. And golf is a niche sport. Basketball, less of a niche sport. But I think you've got to have LeBron. I do.
Tony, you had to have him right now, maybe. But, Tony, you didn't have him 2 years ago. All right? So you're not going to have him for forever.
That's right.
And my point is that Devin Booker and Ja Morant and Luka Doncic, these are the future stars. Now, you can be like the NBA and be short-sighted a few years ago, and you can have an 8-year hangover between LeBron James and Michael Jordan from the time Michael ended to the time LeBron really got going in like 2010. It took them years, Tony. Now, the league can't be that stupid again. And it builds stars. Golf already has young stars because Phil ain't there much and Tiger may never be there again. So I take a total exception to your analogy and look at the young stars.
No.
Like Colin Morikawa and all these guys that golf
already. No, that's not true.
It is.
Even with Rory and Koepka and Spieth and Morikawa, no, they don't move the needle. Phil and Tiger move the needle. That's important.
Well, it's
a television
show. They ain't moving it often, I can tell you that.
Moved
over
it Sunday.
In the East.
Boom! 13
okay,
million
they got
people.
One.
Boom.
They're gonna live off one? How about next month? What you gonna do then? You got Phil again?
Phil's
waiting
gonna
on
move
him?
The needle.
Waiting on Tiger?
Phil's going to move the needle at Torrey Pines. That's what's going to happen.
I hope he does. He might move it for one day or 2 days. Over in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks are having their way with the Heat. Milwaukee had 22 threes last night after making just 5 the game before. Won the game by 34. The Heat's heroes from last season are all struggling and find themselves down 0-2 headed back to Miami. Tone, what do these results, these first two games, tell us about both the Bucks and the Heat?
Well, you don't want to jump the gun before you get to the second sight. Because Miami could go home, they could be brilliant, and then it's 2-2, and then we're not having this discussion if it's 2-2.
That's right.
You know, but what I would say is the guy that you call Jimmy Buckets, where are the buckets? Wait, let me get the numbers here. Whoa, it's 8 for 32. That stinks.
25%.
He's got 27 points total in 2 games. They were down 46-20 at the first quarter. That is unheard of in the playoffs.
It's done.
That's just unheard of. So what it looks like right now is that Milwaukee learned a lesson from losing to this team last year in the playoffs, learned a lesson and is applying what it learned right now and is right now killing Miami.
They are, Tony. And look, I didn't have any faith in Miami for the 2 years they lost earlier than expected. They were the number one seed in the East. I had a little more faith in them this year coming into the playoffs this weekend.
You're talking about Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Right.
But, Tone, I didn't have this much faith. Now, look, they won the first game on a shot at the buzzer, essentially. And so you're like, okay, well, you know, I thought Miami was going to come back and win that game last night. I missed, like, the first 3 minutes, turned it on. It was like, whoa, I can skip this. I can go have dinner now because they're not coming back in this one. But, Tony, betting against Miami is also like betting against Pat Riley and that sort of that Laker, you know, Knicks Heat way that they've had about them when even if they don't win the whole thing, they're right there and they're strong and they're tough and they don't let you walk over them. To have that at all means they've got to come back and win game 3. And wow, you just look at the results. Yeah. I think it says more about Milwaukee though, Tone. Milwaukee looks stronger, tougher, smarter than the last 2 years when they went out early. They do to me, and Drew Holiday
is
a big part of that.
I'm not counting out Miami. They have nothing to prove.
Right.
They went to the finals last year, and they got the same team. But I will say this. Milwaukee is playing like it's being coached by a man who knows that if they go out early, he's going to lose his job. Coach Bood. He's out.
You've been
calling for this
for a few years now.
No, I'm not calling for it. I'm being realistic. They got a two-time MVP. And if you're a two-time MVP and you never get to the NBA Finals, you're never going to be the MVP again. So you're Boston at that point, and nobody cares. So I think Milwaukee's got to do a little bit better. Speaking of Milwaukee, which is in Wisconsin, Aaron Rodgers did not report to the Packers OTAs. He's nowhere near Wisconsin. In fact, Rodgers is in Hawaii, where he's been spotted singing. Rodgers told Kenny Mayne of ESPN that he doesn't have beef with Jordan Love. Rodgers says he loves him. Rodgers says he loves his coaches and his teammates and Packers fans. Rodgers says he has philosophical differences with the organization, but was not specific of what they are. Wilbon, does this situation seem more or less resolvable to you?
You know, knowing we were going to talk about this and knowing you were going to ask me that question, I came to the studio today thinking about that. And I'm first on one side, then on the other, and I'm flipping and I'm flopping. And then I decided that I was going to give you the real answer from me. I don't give a damn. I can't get emotionally invested in the Green Bay Packers. I'd be a fool to do that because I spent my whole life hating them, even though Aaron Rodgers is for the last
But you like
years,
Rodgers.
My favorite
like
quarterback.
Him.
I love him. I love him.
Right. Right.
Tony,
right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is passive aggressive. I don't know if this is using leverage. I don't know, and I'm tired of caring. I know everybody at this network has to fawn all over this story every minute of every day. I'm not going to because there wasn't enough there. The part that got me that I really liked hearing about was the relationship, or at least his attitude about Jordan Love, saying it's not about him. We're cool. I like working with him. After that, I'm done. You love these sort of passion plays. Knock yourself out.
Oh, I do. No, I do. And I'm so sorry that Dak Prescott's situation is settled because, like, first take, I could talk about him for 20 minutes every single day.
Yeah.
In the Rodgers thing, I read Rodgers' comments. I honestly didn't understand a word of them. I mean, if he loves his coaches and he loves his teammates and he loves the Packers fans, well, then why are you leaving? If you hate the GM... say that you hate the GM. It is Aaron Rodgers, once again, as he often does, being vague and mysterious to impress you with how smart and thoughtful he is. Okay, that's fine. Right now, and I was on this early saying he would never play there again.
Yeah.
But right now, with this series of comments, it sounds to me like he's going to play there again. You know,
you think the door's ajar, huh?
Well, he's not making any particular overt threat. So here's what will happen, Mike. He won't go to these OTAs, so what? He won't go to any of this junk, so what?
He'll
eventually walk back in to training camp. He doesn't have to get there early. He knows the system. He is the system. And then if he stews about something, he'll leak something, and it'll indicate that he is stewing. But at the moment, it seems to me that he's going to be there. But the singing intrigues me. I think he could become the host of Jeopardy, and he could sing the answers. And I would like to
real
see
quick
that.
Question. Real quick question before we get out of this. So you like your star player, your iconic god of a player, to go right after the GM. You want a Michael Jordan's Crumbs Krause situation. That's what you prefer to see. Is that right?
What I want is a declaration. This is exactly what I feel, and this is exactly what I'm going to do. Because more than almost any other player in that league, other than Brady, who's already made his move, or the Kansas City quarterback, Mahomes, Rodgers has leverage. Rodgers is an NBA player. He's got leverage should he want to use it. So far, he's nibbling at the edges. He just cast the nets into the water. Let's take a break, but coming up, Jack Flaherty and Lucas Giolito face each other for the first time tonight. So what? They were in the same high school rotation. That's what?
They better win a state championship. We'll check on them again. The brightest young star in hockey gets swept from the playoffs. How should the NHL feel about that?
We both love Aaron Rodgers. You're bad-mouthing him. You're saying I don't care about his condition.
I just said I hate the Packers.
I don't care.
This is not news to you.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show. than find something totally inconsequential to get upset about, so apologies in advance. What's first?
You know who that is.
Toss up, which high school teammate do you have tonight? Jack Flaherty or Lucas Giolito?
So Flaherty is starting for the Cardinals and Giolito is starting for the White Sox. The sexy story about this series, which began yesterday with the White Sox winning, was supposed to be Tony La Russa coming back to manage against the Cardinals. This is a much cooler story. These guys were both at the same high school, pitchers at the same high school, Harvard Westlake in Los Angeles. Now in college, you get college teammates into pros. Gerrit Cole, Trevor Bauer were at UCLA. Mark McGwire, Randy Johnson were at USC, but not in high school. And if you think this is amazing, Mike, there's a third guy.
The third guy.
Max Fried.
Atlanta.
Who was 7-0 with Atlanta last year, was in the same rotation. Who beat this team? Who could possibly
right, in high school.
Beat this team?
Unless they were late bloomers, Tony. You see that happen sometimes. You see it in basketball. But not just players on this team, pitchers. I mean, big, strong guys who can just blow you away now in the majors. Maybe they were late bloomers and somebody was a little, you know, skinny marink when he was young. But beyond that, Tony, Giolito, who was really had a really signature start last year because he threw a no-hitter in August, I believe. He's kind of struggling right now. I think he's like 3-4 with an ERA around 4 or 4+. So
yeah,
I would
Flaherty's
not
eight, no.
go to the mat with him. Flaherty's been like flawless
eight, no.
this season so far. Right.
Yeah.
So you got to think
yeah.
that Flaherty is going to come out on top in this battle of the
two of them were
you know,
first
high school
round
teammates.
Picks. Two of them.
Amazing.
High school teammates. First round picks. Next.
Hire that coach.
Toss up.
Who's that kid?
Who should feel worse about the Oilers getting swept out of the playoffs? Connor McDavid or the NHL?
The NHL ought to feel worse. This is the best player in hockey. He's a three-time scoring leader. He's going to win the MVP this year for the second time, and he's only advanced to the second round of the playoffs once in 6 years. The Winnipeg took him out in four during
Winnipeg
the regular
never
season.
Sweeps anybody.
During the regular season, the Oilers beat them 7 out of 9 games. So you know who should really feel bad? The coach, because he's out. He is not going to be sticking around.
Probably.
If I am the commissioner of the league, Gary Bettman, I'm banging my head against the wall and I'm calling Rob Manfred and I'm commiserating with him over the fact that Mike Trout never advances either. So the best players in both leagues don't get to play in big games.
You got teams that have won. You still got the Lightning, a defending champ and a recent champ. You got a recent finalist before that. You still got them in. Actually, they'd won and been a finalist. And so you've got big teams. Nobody knows what McDavid looks like, Tony. I wanted to see him. I watch him now and then during the regular season. But it's not like Crosby. It's not like, you know, he is a star who's already won 2 or 3 times and you're pinning your hopes and your ratings to him. He ain't Patrick Kane. He didn't have multiple rings. So stop overstating it. The team should feel bad. Edmonton,
that's it.
Not the NHL.
That's
stop.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Nuggets even their series with the Blazers.
And will the Nets handle the Celtics once again tonight?
You said Patrick Kane the way you usually say Patrick Ewing. Are you confusing
no,
them?
It's
Are you conflating
Patrick.
Them?
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Yeah.
Happy time. People, happy 48th birthday yesterday, Bartolo Colon. Colon played for 11 different teams over 21 major league seasons. Indians, Expos, White Sox, Angels, Red Sox, Yankees, A's, Mets, Braves, Twins, and Rangers, for whom he made 24 starts in 2018 at 45 years old.
Just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Colon pitched for more than half the American League, and he was also the last remaining major leaguer to play for the Expos. Colon won the AL Cy Young for the Angels in 2005. He went 21-8. Lifetime record, 247-188. And when he left the majors, he had more wins than any active pitcher. He even got a home run, his first for the Mets in 2016 at age 43. We can all remember him circling the bases slowly. Baseball listed Colon at 5'11", 285, and that 285 may have been kind. Colon is still active, by the way, Mike. He's pitching in the Mexican League.
Tony, it sort of pains me to say this, but you can make the Hall of Fame case, I know I could, for Bartolo Colon, because you know whose winning percentage he has, he owns over a Hall of Famer? You know which guy? Ferguson
nope.
Jenkins. Ferguson Jenkins, he's got a better winning percentage, and I think each one of them has one Cy Young. I don't know if my idol Fergie has two. Ferguson Jenkins, Hall of Famer. I'm just saying, Colon, he's in that discussion.
Happy anniversary, John Starks, on this day 28 years ago. With the Knicks holding on to a three-point lead in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals, the undrafted Starks drove past B.J. Armstrong and rose up for an emphatic left-handed dunk over Horace Grant and Michael Jordan in one of the more memorable plays of the 90s, simply referred to in Knicks lore as the dunk. These were the Knicks of Ewing and Oakley and Mason, large men. The Knicks won this game to take a 2-0 lead in the series, and that was it. The Bulls won the next four games in a row, went on to win their third straight championship. That streak ended when Jordan retired and resumed when he came back. Wilbon, this was the series with the famous Charles Smith, block, strip, block, block. Remember?
Remember, Matthew's required to watch it every day before he goes to school. In my house, we don't bow to the East. We bow to the Midwest. Charles Smith, such a great guy. But how'd it work out for the Knicks against Michael Jordan for all those years in the playoffs? Oh, wait. That's the highlight. No.
Not great. Happy trails, Elias Diaz. The Rockies catcher thrown out at third last night as he tried to advance on a wild pitch. The ball bounced way in front of the Mets catcher, Tomas Nito, and skipped all the way to the wall behind home plate. Of course you're going to take a base on that. But in a 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000 shot, the baseball caromed off the wall directly into Nito's bare throwing hand. Nito whipped the throw to third, getting Diaz. The Rockies won the game anyway. But how many times are you going to see a play like this?
Like three this week, Tony. All these places are now putting those brick walls behind home plate. It should be an automatic base like it is at first base. If that ball hits the fence guard in the dugout, you get the base. This ought to happen with all those brick walls behind home plate. You get the next base.
One confirmation, Fergie Jenkins indeed has won Cy Young. Quickly to the big finish, please. The Nuggets beat the Blazers to tie that series at 1. Break it down.
Joker's going to be announced the MVP any day now, Tony, and it's deserved because the performance is like last night. The PGA of America apologized for its poor crowd control. It should on 18 Sunday. You disagree with this?
Yes, I disagree. It looked like the British Open. I thought it was wonderful, actually.
It's dangerous.
Joe West will set the record for most games umpired tonight. Are you impressed?
You know, I get tired of Joe West, but yes, the record's lasted like, you know, nearly 100 years. Yes, I'm impressed. Jacob deGrom returns to the mound tonight for the Mets. That's significant, isn't it?
He's the best pitcher in baseball. It is significant. Last one, Celtics at Nets, game 2 tonight. Who you got?
Tony, I don't see any way the Celtics get more than one game, and I don't see it happening tonight. I got the Nets again big.
Out of time. We will try and do better the next time, and I am Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now, your SportsCenter.
All right, so a shout-out to Woody Fountain. He's your guy, right? Watches all the time.
Absolutely. Cheers.